Are you a Hong Kong business owner and looking to employ some overseas talent or maybe some guaylo for your business? What's the best situation? Get them an employment visa, an investment visa, or maybe just have them get married and go on a dependent visa. Episode number 82, Global from Asia. We're going to give you some ideas.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
So I'm riding a high today. I just have a newspaper in my hand from Shenzhen Daily. I was featured in their People's column on page 9. So if anybody wants to pick up last weekend's Shenzhen Daily newspaper, I'll link it up on the show notes too on globalfromasia.com/episode82, but it was pretty cool. Like I got to go downstairs to the newsstand. People were sending me pictures of the newspaper on Twitter, and then I go to the newsstand and buy it, and then I show the vendor that I was in the picture in the newspaper, and she was kind of excited. Well, maybe not really, but got her to smile at least. So. It's also titled From Wall Street to the New Silicon Valley. I guess the reporter, Lawrence, wanted to play up the whole China or Shenzhen as the new Silicon Valley. So, yeah, sure, I'll be used to spice up the article there. And I hope you guys enjoy it. It's a pretty long one. So check out the show notes after. Okay, and now for today's show, we have Fionn Sen back from Bridges Executive Center. So those listening have heard her a few times on previous episodes. And everybody always enjoys her, and she shares really openly, so we really appreciate her. Today, she's going to be talking about the employment visa or overseas talent or foreigners. And we've had some previous episodes with similar content with Steve Barnes, where he was on episode 4 and number 42. But today is kind of like a little bit of different angles and questions. We also go at it from the perspective of the business owner hiring the overseas staff rather than the overseas person applying for it. So it's a different perspective, and I hope you guys enjoy. Also, as a foreigner myself, I understand the kind of headaches and the questions that go through. Like, you want to hire some of these maybe people that want to work for you that are from other countries outside of Hong Kong or Asia, and what's the right way to do it? And so you guys might also know I'm a affiliate of Bridges Executive Center. So if you do choose to use their service from today's show, if you could mention Global from Asia when you sign up, I will get a commission and the price will be the same to you. Also, we can use the link globalfromasia.com/overseas, which will go to a sign up form where they'll definitely be able to track that it came from us. So, you know, I appreciate that, guys. If you enjoy the show, it's a way of supporting. And now for a fun fact, foreigners like me have a dirty little nickname in Hong Kong or in the Cantonese language called guaylo. I mentioned that earlier in the show, and I'm not sure if you've heard of that before, but it actually means white devil in Cantonese. And maybe some of us white people might have been a little bit of devils, you know, back in history, you know, plundering other countries and taking back resources back to Europe in the olden days. But nowadays, the word is kind of used as a joke, and it's not too serious, so don't get offended if people use it, but it's a little bit funny, and I call myself a guaylo a lot when I'm in Hong Kong or around Cantonese people. Sometimes they'll chuckle, so just a little fun fact. Okay, and now let's get into the show, and I have to admit something to you guys again. This interview, because I did all of these at the same time with Fionn, and about six of them, and I kind of crossed the two topics because they're a little bit similar. Episode number 75, we're talking about hiring locals in Hong Kong for your company, but actually today's interview was put there, and I guess it is about hiring. So we've had over 1,000 listeners on that show, but I was wondering how to fix this, but I couldn't. I have to basically switch the interview. So today's going to be a repeat of what was on episode 75, and I'm going to take the episode 75. Take the interview that was supposed to be on episode 75 and put it there. So the interview here is going to be a repeat if you listen to episode 75 as of today's published date. But it's for the long term because there's been people going back through all of these shows. Like, I'm getting a lot of emails of people that just found a Global from Asia show and they're listening to all of them in order. So I want to keep the historical value in the right order with the right content. So if you listen to episode 75 already as of today's publishing date, and you might have heard this already, and go to episode 75 and listen. But if, you know, this is like months or years in the future, then everything should be all lined up. Episode 75 is correct and episode 82 is correct. Thanks, guys, for your patience there. I still try to keep good content, but I'm running around like a madman. And Boban is an awesome editor, but it was my mistake. I crosswired the interviews. And so let's get into this interview and enjoy. It's great content. Okay, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. We have Fionn here from Bridges Executive Center, and we're in their beautiful office here in central Hong Kong. Thank you for being here, Fionn.
Hi, everybody. This is Fionn from Bridges Executive Center. We are the Hong Kong company helping the people to set up their business. And also, we have been helping a lot of people from foreign country come to work in Hong Kong. We have experience to directly deal with the immigrations for more than 10 years already.
Yeah, so this is always a popular topic is, you know, a lot of foreigners, Westerners, or people from all around the world want to live and work in Hong Kong. So we're going to talk about some different ways that these non-local Hong Kong people can get jobs and opportunities here in Hong Kong. So what's the general process for an employer hiring a non-local Hong Kong person?
So I find there's a lot of entrepreneurs, they may consider whether they themselves come to work in Hong Kong or maybe they employ some foreigner come to work in Hong Kong, which will be belongs to two types of working visa. If the owner of the business, they want to come here, they need to get the investment work visa because they are the investor of the company. Or if they want to employ some professional people to join them, they need to approach the immigrations to apply for the employment work visa. But no matter which type of visa, the basic requirement is immigrations is looking for someone who are professional. Professional means that it's much better they are university graduate with extensive years of relevant industry working experience, which means that it's much better that that person has at least 3 to 5 years experience in that industry and much better in management role as well.
And also, I mean, I think, and I don't want to, of course, we're always talking about Hong Kong and the show a lot. Every government wants the local people to get the jobs first, right? So is there some policy where they should try to hold Hong Kong local first before they hire a foreigner or?
Yeah, that's true. One of the basic requirements is immigrations prefer you have been take care of the local Hong Kong people first. So what you need to do, first of all, for this open vacancy, they want to saw that you already try hard to look for the local people. Just like maybe you have been through some recruitment website to look for the, you have post your job advertisements there, or maybe you've through some recruitment agency to look for the people. So you need to keep all those proof supplied to the immigration to show that you have been trying your best. But please remember that you need to reserve the reasonable time, just like at least 1 month time to look for the suitable person. And then you need to show the statistic how you can find a suitable person. And then finally, maybe you need to go outside to some other country to look for the expatriate to join you. But remember that the salary that you pay to your expatriate must be in reasonable salary range as well. This will be one of the very important requirements.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can't just get hired for half price of a local Hong Kong range salary. So on previous show with you, we were talking about all here. So, yeah, you got to be in market rate.
Correct. Yeah. Because I find that a lot of clients come to us will say that why I want to get that person to come to me because he's very professional and he got this kind of experience. But I said that why the salary is quite low, because he said that actually is already higher than what they earn from, for example, from Thailand, okay? Because the living standard is different. But immigration do not prefer to do so because they are afraid that because you get that person to come in and affect the Hong Kong people do not have the job. So how you set the salary range must be something same as Hong Kong people's salary range. Or we should say even higher because you can't hire from Hong Kong. So you need to pay a little bit more to get that person to travel abroad to Hong Kong. On top of that, you need to provide the housing allowance to them as well. Which means that actually you need to spend more to get the expatriate to join you rather than to recruit the local Hong Kong people.
Got it. And then, so, you know, I know this is anywhere and dealing with this is a process, any country. So are they quote unquote safe after they get approved and get the employment visa, or is there regular upkeep? Is it monthly, yearly, or?
Okay, so for the first time when the employee to join you, normally immigrations will grant for 1 year, because after 1 year they want to assess for the case whether the employee is suitable to keep on staying in Hong Kong or not. So if the company is good and the employee is good, there will have chance that we renew for 2 years. So first time is 1 year, the second time maybe 1 year or maybe 2 years. So every year or every 2 years, you need to renew the visa for your staff.
Okay. And we were kind of joking about this next question before we started the interview, but you know, the employers go through a lot of trouble and pays money to and time to get the foreigner a job here and be in Hong Kong. What if they quit, or you know, what if something happens? How does a visa work?
Actually, we're talking about the professional working visa, because there is many different kind of visa. If for the professional working visa, once granted to the employee, even though the employee quit the job, they can still keep on staying in Hong Kong until the visa is expired. They do not need to leave Hong Kong immediately. So they can keep on staying here, but if they planning to work for another company, they need to get the immigration approved so they can keep on staying here to look for the job. But however, from the employer point of view, I also come across quite a lot of clients having this kind of headache. So I think maybe you need to predefine some of the costs with your employee in the employment contract to say that in case they quit the job, what kind of things that, yeah, mutual agree on how to handle that.
Got it. Yeah, that's a good point for sure, because I know it's a lot of trouble to do this, and you know, you want to make sure that the team member stays for the long term. I mean, it's hard to make this a very long show, but because there's so many different parts. But we're focusing more on employment visa today. Mm-hmm. But maybe we can quickly also compare it to an investment visa as a difference.
I think there is a lot of difference, but yeah, simply speaking, investment visa is applied to those who are the owner of the business. You are the investor. Supposing in the company registry record, you are the shareholder of the company. And the main difference is immigrations will look at your own asset. We need to look at your latest 3 to 6 month bank statement to see whether you have enough money to run your business. But for the employment visa, because they are your staff, they are the employee, so we will not look at their own asset. This is the main difference. So make sure that you have enough cash flow in your bank account. Mm.
That's good. That's a very direct answer. So that's great. Also, so foreigners or non-local Hong Kong people can be a dependent visa, maybe with a local Hong Kong person. So they're married to a husband or a wife. How does the dependent visa work?
I think the dependent visa is something very good, because we just talked about for the employment visa, if the person quit the job, they can't work for another company immediately until the immigration is approved. However, for the dependent visa, they are very flexible. Within the granted visa period, they are allowed to work for any company. Yeah, they can change the job anytime. And also we can say some of the people, they want to have the part-time job. They want to work for 2 companies at the same time. You are allowed to do so as well for the dependent visa. But for the employment visa, you can only work for your sponsor company only. You are not allowed to take up any part-time job or volunteer job like that. Hmm.
That's clear. So maybe some people here should consider getting married and come to Hong Kong.
And also I think the good thing is if you come with your whole family, come here. So I think, for example, if your wife come with you and your wife is the dependent visa, then your wife have the flexibility to work for any company as well. Mm.
So a dependent visa, if I had an employment visa and then my wife had a dependent visa, she, okay, that's good to know. And so is the process for all non-local people? I think it's more difficult from my experience, like for mainland Chinese, because it's so close and there's so many mainland Chinese that want to come to Hong Kong. Is it, I mean, I'm sure it depends on the country of origin of the person or passport, or?
We would say no matter what kind of passport that you are holding, actually it's the same. Yeah, the assessment criteria is the same. Make sure that you have the good education and the professional background as well. However, why there's a lot of people say that mainland Chinese is much more difficult is because sometimes my experience is their document is not very well organized. Yeah, they may not be easy to get the job reference letter or even for the educational proof. You know, from China, when we got the university graduation proof, we are not just get the degree certificate. They have separate into two. One is called the school graduation certificate. Another one is called the degree qualification certificate. Even though some of the people, they graduate from the university, it doesn't mean that they have the degree qualification. So there is a bit more documents we need to get. And sometimes we need to verifications on their qualification, whether it's the recognized one or not. So this part of things, we need to be do a bit more things compared to other country. And also for the job reference letter, sometimes my experience is in the CV, they will say that they work for ABC company, but finally the job reference letter is from DEF company. Sometimes something is like that. It's a bit more not very well organized, but this is the things that we are happy to help the client as well. We help them to make sure that all the information is synchronized, is in line, is in the true information supplied to the Hong Kong government. But and also another thing is people say the mainland Chinese is difficult is because basically speaking, we immigrations look for people from China having the university graduate qualifications, or we call it degree qualification. If the people do not have this kind of educational background, it will be difficult to get the working permit. This is quite the entry level. But sometimes when we work with some European country people, so if they are very experienced, they have 20 years working experience, but do not have the degree qualification, we still recognize their good professional working experience. But for China, we may not do so. Yeah, because we are difficult to verify their working experience background.
So it's not on my notes here, but I think there's another visa, student visa. So I've met some local or mainland Chinese students that are here on internships. Mm. So not just for mainland Chinese, but I think others can also, if they're younger, can consider a student visa for like MBA. Mm-mm. There's a great MBA programs here. So that's another maybe possibility.
Yeah, it's very good that Hong Kong government support those non-local graduate. So if they graduate from Hong Kong University, no matter from China or from any other country, if they graduate from Hong Kong, they will automatically grant the visa for them to work in Hong Kong. And that kind of visa, the advantages is they are allowed to work for any company as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is a very good support to those non-local graduate. Yeah, so that's why I think for the foreigner, if they want to employ some non-local people, they can first consider this kind of non-local graduate because I think it's much more easy to help them to get the visa to work for you.
So for business owners, which I think most listeners here are business owners, what are some tips, you know, we're kind of wrapping up the show here, tips for them to hire overseas talent in Hong Kong? To get started.
I think for this part, how to think of getting the local people is not just only look at the person, whether it's qualified or not. So in the show, we keep on talking about whether the applicant is a qualified person to join your firm. But I think getting the working visa now in this field year, very important is the sponsor company background. Mm. So the sponsor company background, the basic requirement is no matter it's investment visa and permanent visa, very important is the company is strong enough to sponsor the expatriate. What means strong enough is you have the business activities in Hong Kong. If your whole business activities is not involved in Hong Kong, you are not able to get a working visa, which means that I want to see some of your business contract with the Hong Kong client or supplier or the invoice with the client. So which means that your activity will be in here. So you need somebody to work for you in here. And then beside the contract, you are required to have the physical office because when you employ somebody to work for you, immigrations prefer them to have a good, secure office for them to work there rather than work in the home office. And then the third thing is they prefer you take care of the local people first, which means that they want to show that your company is already employing some local people, maybe in the administrative level, but now you employ the professional person, the senior level, and then with the local administration person to support them. So this is the basic requirement. So a summary, you need to have the business transaction in Hong Kong, you need to have the physical office, you need to have the local staff, you need to have enough cash flow. This is the update requirement from the Hong Kong immigrations.
Great. Wow. It's really, really amazing to share. And then normally would it be the employee or probably the employer, the company should be the one to start the visa process?
Yes. Yeah. Supposing it's the employer responsibility to do all these kind of things. Yeah.
Great. And do you mind sharing some... How much should they budget time and money for doing this?
For the time, normally for the working visa, you need to well prepare 1 to 2 months before, because for the immigrations, they need to take around 4 to 6 weeks time to do the assessment. And then for the budget, the market rate for this kind of working visa is around, I think, around 20,000, around 15 to 20,000 for one case. Okay. Yeah.
And that's the fee to...
Yeah, the fees okay. for the first-time application, for the consultations fees. But if you want to upkeep the maintenance of the visa renewal, normally the market rates, I think, is around $3,000 to $7,000. Okay. Hong Kong dollars?
Hong Kong dollars, yeah. We're talking Hong Kong dollars. All right. And then, of course, for those, you can help them with this service of getting the employment visa or any visa, how can they reach out to you?
Yep. For us, we help people to do this kind of visa for more than 10 years, including what we talk about, investment visa, employment visa, or even for the travel visa, we also help the people to do. So if you have any question, feel free to in touch with me. I'm Fionn. You can visit our website, www.bridges.hk. Thank you. Okay.
Thanks, Fionn. And that's a wrap. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you everybody for listening in. And remember, if you're interested in using Bridges Executive Center with Fionn and her amazing team for hiring staff from overseas or Guaylos, don't forget I am an affiliate. So if you tell them you heard about it from Global From Asia, I will get a small commission and the price will be the exact same to you. Just a way to thank me and support the Global From Asia podcast. So thanks in advance. Okay, so usually I read off iTunes review, but no new ones this week. But I have been getting more and more listener emails, and people really, really liked the Global From Asia 81 last week with Russell Smith, episode 81. And some people even look like they're going to be hiring them for some China sourcing and other projects in China. So I'm really happy about that, and Russell definitely deserves it. So tune in next week for the show. We're going to have a fun topic, maybe not really fun, but organizing your receipts. I know a lot of people are always stressed out about how to keep track of all their paperwork and their receipts for their accounting and things. So we're going to do some tips and hints for Hong Kong business owners especially, but it can be applied to any business around the world. Hope you guys have a great week and catch you next week, episode 83. Bye-bye.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.